revelations of who God reveals himself as. There's a few of them in these incredible songs. It's such an amazing thing to research the Word of God and see him for everything he says he is and say, God, I don't know you as that yet, but I need to. I need to know you in that capacity in my life. Open your heart to him in every aspect of who he is, because his name denotes who he is in so many ways, and who he promises to be to each one of us is so real. Amen? Amen. Come on, give God a hand. Give God praise and glory. Thank you, Mel and Kerry. So awesome. Children, you're free to move into the upper room. And there will come a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. And I hope it's not anything but the power of God.
I was about to say that.
Praise the Lord. Last week I started off with a bit of a shock phrase that says, you're full of it. And that's pretty well a derogatory term in the world's light, but you know, we as Christians need to be full of not it, but him. Amen? Amen. And I really believe that God's heart is to empower us with his fullness. Amen. Whoa, that's the word of God. And we learn that God is a jealous God. He is a jealous God, but not like we get jealous. When the jealousy turns to spite and envy and... But he has a righteous jealousy because he wants to embrace us as his people, as his children, and then give us freely of all that he can and has available to us. It's so amazing. He also said this, my glory I will not share with another. And so... even though he said that in the Exodus and told the children of Israel not to worship other gods, we don't have that capacity now to, well, we still do. I guess there's a lot of people going into New Age and other things. But he said, in that era, I will not share my glory with another. And that can also mean that our lives can be full of other things that restrict God being able to share his glory with us. And I really believe we need to be like Jesus, who found himself fashioned as a man. He emptied himself. Fully could have had the piousness of being the King of Glory. Fully could have had every right to say, hey, I'm the Son of God. Could have boasted and could have blown his own trumpet. And he could have done a lot of things in all sorts of manners and forms. And could have called out so many legions of angels to rescue him from the cross. But he emptied himself. And being found in fashion as a man, he emptied himself and became obedient to his Father and the mission he'd been sent here for. The Bible tells us that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling us to himself, drawing us back, bringing us home, bringing ownership back into our lives by the God of all glory who loves us so passionately. And we saw that with the way Andrew expressed communion. What an amazing expose of knowing God's incredible love. One of my favorite verses is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated and showed his great love towards us in that while we were still unworthy and sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, sensational. God's so amazing. Amen. What we want to look at is we are filled with what? You know, I said that before and I say it again. We need to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of our hearts are the issues of life. And if we're so full of other things that occupy us and our thinking and our time and don't give time and space to God, we restrain his capacity to do and be what he wants to do and be in our lives. He's like wanting. He's on edge. He's like a starter at a race waiting for the gun. And we're so caught up with everything else and trying to do things in our own strength and in our own way. And he's like, you're tying his hands behind his back and disabling him almost. in the freedom he wants to be able to work in our lives. And so what we need to look at, despite all of the spiritual conjecture on what God has for us, and there's a lot of people, God's got a plan and God's got a purpose for your life, they don't express what it is. It's just like, you know, okay, now go and find it. But really, even though God does place calls on our lives and God does empower us with certain gifts and callings, we have one overriding real calling, one supreme purpose over and above everything else we do. And even though I'm called to be a preacher of the gospel and a minister and lead a church, and even though others of us have different callings and capacities and anointings on our lives, over and above all of that, this one calling reigns supreme. To know him and make him known. Wow. Unrestrained, uninhibited, and without any hindrances, to know him and to make him known. And what I said a little earlier about who God is in the Word, man, if we go from Genesis to the maps, you got to believe every word. You really do. And you got to find what God says about himself, because that book from cover to cover is the revelation of God to this planet in its fullness. Now, he could probably tell us a lot more, but he chose not to. He chose 66 amazing books to reveal himself to us in every capacity that we need to know, to get to know him on this planet. Amen? Don't go looking for something weird and out there that's not there. That's what he has done. Next slide, please. God has, in many places in scriptures, given us such clear insight as to what he wants to do, to reveal his glory, to be the God that he wants to be. It's just right there, going right back into the beginnings in the Garden of Eden and right through where the children of Israel were called and so many other areas. And he wanted to be seen and revealed in and through all of his people, the Israelites. There's a D in there that my spelling thumb got in the way. But whether they were lighted or Israelites or not, doesn't matter. But he actually gave them a challenge so many times, over and over and over. He gave them the capacity to be his people. He gave them every opportunity to be obedient to him. But he said in the end, he said, despite you guys, you've disobeyed me, you've let me down, you've failed. But this is God's word, and he said this without any qualification. He promised it, but as truly as I live. Does he live? But as truly as I live. These people may have failed me, Moses. They've let me down. They haven't been what I wanted them to be. They haven't been my light to this planet. They haven't been the people I wanted to show my life and glory through so the rest of the world could know that I am God. That was their purpose. That was why they were his people. That was why he wanted to take them into the promised land so that the rest of the world could use them as a benchmark for who this God is and say, wow, we want to know this God. But they couldn't cut the mustard. He said, Moses, as truly as I live, in spite of these people failing me, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. His plan B, of course, was through Jesus Christ, which in turn is us. And I'm wondering if we're any better than the children of Israel. I'm just wondering if we've let God down to the point where he's still saying, come on. I promised it, I said it, and I ain't going back on my word. What's the holdup? Certainly not God. Certainly not God. Certainly not God. Amen? Certainly not. As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled. Next slide, Matt. Mash. There are so many scriptures that portray what God had promised. And I've just got a couple up here. And if you look at Isaiah 44, verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So this is a reiteration, basically, of what was said back in the Exodus. there will be a revelation of God's glory across this planet, and all flesh will see it together. But here's an exhortation in Isaiah 60, where there's a prophetic word given for God's people: arise and shine. Now, there's a lot I can go into this about you are the light of the world and other things. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world initially, then he passed it on. He said, you are the light of the world. And so Isaiah's prophecy is no light-hearted matter. Arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord might be seen on you. No, he's risen. It's there. There is a release of God's glory. There is a capacity of God's glory. Now, let me qualify the glory. I said this last week. There is the Shekinah glory of God that descended when they dedicated the temple, and the priest couldn't stand to minister for the awesomeness of the presence of God's Shekinah glory, which is his glory of himself. And that glory is just such an incredible manifestation that God chooses in very few times to reveal. But it has happened past and in recent times. And I remember I've told you the story of Ern Baxter in New Zealand opening his eyes when the music was going up and down and up and down, and he couldn't see the congregation. All he could see was two hands in a glistening, glorious cloud just going down. As it went down, the worship in the auditorium just descended. And then as the hands turned and rose, and the musicians in the auditorium all sang and rose up with great ascent. And it was orchestrated by God himself, I'm sure. But he was on this platform and could not see a solitary person, just hear the music, hear the singing, and see these two hands in this incredible cloud of God's glory directing this amazing worship. And he said, I've never experienced worship like it. Was just as if he was, you know, round the throne with the angels of heaven singing. So that was one that was recent. And he told that story in a meeting I was at in Melbourne and described it far better than I did just then. But I've never forgotten that. I'm praying and believing for the day when we have an incredible time in worship here. We have some amazing sense and awareness of God's presence that is just released by us in this place. And God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. So we're not here, he's not here. Okay? Nice building, pretty. Some of them are even more ornate, and they've got incredible architecture and stained glass windows and all sorts of, you know, things on them. But without the people of God in there carrying his presence, there's no point in the building. When we come here and we start to worship God, that intensity of God's presence is enhanced by the Holy Spirit driving us in worship and in exaltation of our Father. And our lives then become far more in tune to the Spirit and the power and the presence of God. Amen? And we walk out and we get involved in daily life, and we don't have that same environment that we're around. We come here to worship God collectively as God's people. And as a result of that, we enhance the presence of God in not only our own lives, but in the awareness in our lives. We need to be far more like that daily. Do we get up of a morning and do we worship him and sing praises to him and tune ourselves in to the awareness of God's presence in our lives? It's there. We just got to be far more sensitive to it. Far more. Don't go out of this place and think, oh man, I wish I could carry that feeling with me. Well, if you're not, why not? Who turned the tap off? Not God. Think about that. You can be at your home doing housework. You can be repairing anything. You can be doing your work at work. But where's your awareness? You know, that's how you get, you know, off in la la land and don't do your work properly. Now, that's irresponsible. What we need to do is be very responsible people, but fully aware of the power and the presence of God in our lives. Amen? That is what God's heart is. As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled. And the more we become sensitive to that and aware of that, the more likely we are to have God honor that presence and power in our lives in ministering to others. We're not aware of it. We get scared and we run a mile when there's an opportunity to minister for God to someone who desperately needs it. And we feel inadequate and we feel unsure of ourselves and we feel insecure. Been there, done it, guilty. And the times that I have stepped out, man, has God ever come good? Has God ever made his presence known? Has God ministered to people's lives? Yes. What about the times I haven't? And I've come to realize that a missed opportunity or a lost opportunity is a lost opportunity. Regardless of how you try and recreate that again or look for it again, it does not happen. Don't miss those opportunities God gives us to work in and through our lives on behalf of other people. His heart is for that person. His heart is for their life. His heart is to meet their need. His heart is to draw them to himself. And you're probably the only magnet he can use. You and I. And at times I look back and I think, God, sorry. I didn't obey the prompting of your spirit. I didn't move at that time. I didn't do what I knew you wanted me to do. And it breaks my heart now to think of some of those things, especially when I see the amazing times that I have taken the step of faith and stepped out. And God has been amazing and so good. Lexi tells the story when she was in Tamworth one day and a guy at the side was either begging or doing something, I don't know. She's walking down the main street. I was up there teaching and training at the college. And she walked past this guy and just had this incredible urgency to go back and talk to him. And she went back and she said, look, I've come back because I see that you have a need in your life, but I got something better than the money. How easy is it if we obey God? I've told you the story of the guy over in Bacchus Marsh, sitting there having a coffee, and I just said to him, like, I can't leave this place without talking to that guy there. And the film The Navigator, has anyone ever seen that on Channel 2 when it's been aired 5 or 6 times? And you will usually find it around Anzac Day. They put this film up called The Navigator. And it's about this guy who was on the bombing missions over Germany as the navigator of one of the bombers, and how accurate he was and how good he was at his job. And that film was the life of this guy. And he sat there at that restaurant telling me that God couldn't love him or forgive him because he was responsible for the death of so many innocent people. As that navigator, he was accurate with where he dropped those bombs. But there were people there that shouldn't have been in the way, I suppose, or that were just innocent victims of what was going on. And it was God who made me get into that conversation with that guy and just tell him how much God loved him. And that if he asked God to forgive him, he would be declared not guilty. So God's not holding that against you. You're a victim of a war. You were in a situation where you did a job you were allocated to do. But I said, God loves you so much, he says he declares you not guilty. And that guy just poured out on that table in tears and repented. Said, God, I knew you before, but I thought you'd turned your back on me because I was so bad. And I come to you again. He died a month after that. What an opportunity that it would have taken a guy who'd walked away or turned his back on God because he felt he wasn't worthy of the grace and love of God. And I didn't know he died because I kept looking for him. And it wasn't until a lady from Bacchus Marsh came in here who was his next door neighbor. And I said, oh, I've been looking for this guy. And she said, oh no, he died on such and such a day. And I'm like, oh, that was only just like 3 or 4 weeks after I met him. After I talked to him. And she said, I've got a copy of his book, of his movie, The Navigator. And she gave me the DVD that he'd given her. And I'm like, oh, wow. That's just one time of many that I could have stepped out. But that one, God had a hand in and knew that man's life was going to end shortly. How many times have we not obeyed the promptings of the Spirit of God? God wants His glory revealed in and through us, and He does it. You want it, Mash? Thanks. The glory shall be revealed. Let's not hold it back. David in Psalm 108 said this amazing, well, I've put it in a song form that's been sung in the churches over the years. I will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to Thee among the nations, for Thy steadfast love is great to the heavens, and Your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Your glory be over all the earth. And here's the cry of David, seeing that God's glory was to be revealed over all the earth. And he just worshipped and honored God, seeing that God's plan and purpose was for that to come to fruition. Next slide, Mash. So filled with what? And God's referring to when what I talked about a little earlier, my glory I will not share with another. So what we are filled with will actually determine what God is able to do in and through our lives and the level and the capacity that we allow Him to work at. Next slide. You know, if God's glory is to be revealed in us, this was an amazing... I prayed the other day and I said, Lord, how can I express this? What is it? And if you can copy this or hang on to this. I am so blown away by God. Just gave me that and I penned it out. The freedom He has with a fully dedicated life to reveal all that He has and all that He is, all that He is, all that He has and all that He's provided for us through the cross in unrestrained totality. That's really, really, really amazing. That's mind-blowing. Completely unhindered and unrestricted by us in any way, fully free to function and show Himself into and through every part of our life. I read it over and over and over after I just penned that out as I felt the words coming and prompted. And I'm like, Lord, I got a long way to go. Man, have I saw myself just not even at the first stepping stone of a 10,000 mile journey almost, you know? I'm like, God, I want to get there. I want to be that type of person. I want to see Your church in that position. All of us moving into a realm where You are unrestrained and unhindered by any one of us and free to do everything that You want to do in and through us. That's God's glory being revealed. That's an empowerment that He wants to place within us that is not a glistening cloud glory. That's not a manifestation of His presence glory, but it is a manifestation of His life in us reaching this world for His glory to be seen in so many more lives. His glory or His empowerment or His power or His capacities and His abilities and all that He is just to be flowing in and through our lives, ministering as we're supposed to as His ambassadors. Oh, Lord Jesus. Wow. You know, Paul was amazing in his letters. Move on, Mash. Paul's letters were totally, I suppose, a different gospel to what Peter preached. Peter preached repentance. The power of the Holy Spirit fell. Peter was a power apostle. Peter would go down the street and his shadow passing over those who were laying there in wait, they would get healed. There was the dynamics of the outpouring of the power of God working through Peter in such a way that was incredible. But Paul, who had an amazing call of God and who saw so much of the revelation of God's plan for the church, was given amazing insights that he penned and revealed to the church. Next slide, please. And in Ephesians 3, And you need to read these over and over and over and over. Because Paul tells the story of when he got saved. The gospel that he preached, he didn't receive it by a revelation of any man. It wasn't given to him at a Bible college. It wasn't given to him by anyone else. But he was caught up. And he got it from God himself. And he spent time after his salvation, 14 years, he went away from everybody and spent time with God. And God revealed himself to him in so many ways. And this is why he was so instrumental in writing the New Testament. And he saw this, and he saw what the purpose for the church was, and he saw what God's heart was for every individual in the church. And he said, because of this, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I ask in prayer that out of the riches of his glory, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being or inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you've been rooted and grounded in love, will have power together with all the saints to comprehend the length, the width, the height, and the depth and love of his love, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses any natural knowledge. You can't get it through a studying on a book or an encyclopedia. There's a knowledge of God that doesn't come through studying things unless you get a revelation of God. It's amazing to read his word. It's incredible to have a knowledge of God's word, but you get the revelation of God in your spirit that comes through that word that blows your thinking beyond your wildest dreams and imagination, that you might be what? Filled with the fullness of God. Woohoo! Oh, that absolutely pushes all my buttons. I've read that over and over and over, and I put my name in there that Paul prayed that Ken would be exactly everything that's there. And wherever it says that you will, I put that Ken will, that Ken will, that Ken will, and say, God, that's my prayer in my heart, that I want to be filled with your fullness. Put your name in these scriptures. It belongs there. You're not being, you know, crazy. You belong there. Put your name in it. If Ken be in Christ, Ken is a new creature. Behold, all of Ken's life is passed away that was before Christ. And behold, all things in Ken's life become new. I pray that over my life. I declare it. I confess it. Because if I don't, I get caught up in the rubbish. Because my natural mind just wants to think things that are not supposed to be there. And I have to get to God's word and override my natural thinking with what God promises and what God says. Amen? Oh, it's exciting. Next slide. And so he also says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places or heavenly realms. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his presence in love. Just think about that for a second. He's not turning around saying, I'm choosing you and I'm choosing you, but I'm not choosing you. No, this is people everywhere. Every person has the capacity to be chosen in him through Christ Jesus, because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's not the will of your Father in heaven that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So his choosing is for every man, woman, and child on the face of this planet. And what it says here, there's a crazy doctrine running around some places of predestination. Oh, you're predestined to go to heaven, or you're predestined to go to hell. The Bible doesn't say that. It says we are what? He predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters, as his children through Christ Jesus. You come to Christ, your immediate status of predestined willing God is to be his child. Whoa-ho! That's the doctrine of predestination, where God wants us to be. Amen? Glory to God. He doesn't send anybody off to other places as a predestined destiny for them. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in Christ Jesus. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. He lavished. What's that word lavish mean? He's not holding back. Woo-hoo-hoo! He is not holding back in any way, shape, or form. He's not holding out on us. He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to bring all things in heaven and on earth together in Christ. If any man be in, so where does that place us in this plan and purpose of God? Right in the middle. Next slide. Right in the middle. In him we were chosen as God's own, having what? Being predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything by the counsel of his will, in order that we, who were the first hope in Christ, would be to the praise of his glory. We have been predestined as his children to be the what? Praise of his glory. That's God's purpose and destiny for us. This is where God wants his church and his people to be. This is the destiny and the heart of God for every man, woman, and child to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to be made his sons and daughters and ambassadors, and to be to the praise of his glory. Whew! That is so encouraging. I'm talking to the wrong people. Anyone got excited here today? Is there any excitement in the house? Come on. You've got to put yourself in this situation. Say, that's me. I'm in the boat. I'm coming. Lord God, if I haven't made it yet, I'm going to determine to make it. Amen? Come on. This is exciting stuff. And in him, having heard and believed the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the pledge of our inheritance, or the deposit in our life of the inheritance of God, until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Well, how's that going to happen? How can that be? Next slide. How can we be to the praise of his glory? That men would see, the Bible tells us, Christ in us and praise your Father, or worship your Father which is in heaven. It says that. There's to be a revelation of God in and through our lives that makes men praise. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love for saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, in order that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? What's our purpose? Know him and make him known. You can't make anybody known that you do not know. It's other like the people in the book of Acts. I want to command you in the name of Jesus that Paul's talking about. Look out. Look out. You get whopped. That's an American word for whipped, isn't it? I'm not sure. Is that wrong? We don't want that. We want to know the God of ourselves. And he says, I ask that the eyes of your heart be enlightened, or your understanding be enlightened. You might know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. In the who? In the who? The saints. Who's the saints? Glory to God. Come on. We have a riches of glory in our inheritance that belongs to us. Don't put it off into the sweet by and by. If it ain't going to happen here, it ain't going to happen. This is the life where God's glory needs to be manifest and revealed, because we need to fulfill what the Lord said, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Wow. And to know the surpassing greatness of his power to us who believe, these are in accordance with the working of his mighty power. This is in accordance with the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And God put everything under his feet and made him head over everything for the church, which is his body, which does what? Fills all in all, or fulfills and brings all to completion. This age is hanging on a thread, and if the church doesn't get up and do something about it, another age will have to come into fruition like they did with the children of Israel. Moses, they failed me. I'm going to have to get someone else. Church, you failed me. The next generation's going to have to do it. You've let me down. I wonder if that's happened over the centuries. I wonder if God's ever had to sort of turn, nah, he's got a promise. It's going to happen. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. I believe we need to be more diligent in seeking that out in our own lives and being filled with everything God has for us in order that he can be revealed the way he wants to be. Amen? Without hindrance, without restriction. God put everything under his, where they put it? Under his feet. Jesus Christ is the head. You and I are the body. Where's the feet? On the body. Where's everything that is tackling us and suppressing us and making us feel down and coming against us? Where is it? Under our feet, amen? The only reason it gets out from under our feet is because we pick it up and start addressing it and start worrying about it. Oh no. Oh, I've got to do this. Oh, put it where it belongs. Father, in the name of Jesus, my life is being challenged by such and such a situation at the moment, and I know it's to be under my feet. I'm having troubles with it, but I need your wisdom, your glory, and your power to enable me to overcome in this situation and to see your hand of deliverance work for my on my behalf. You promised it, and I receive it in Jesus' name. How easy is that? You save yourself a lot of sleepless nights. You save yourself a lot of worry. You're wasting worries. Whoa, come on. We've got a God who's on our side, amen? Next slide. This is amazing. See that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. Well, there is a lot of that on this planet now. It's in the church and it's outside of the church. There is so much nonsense out there. Talking to some United Church people recently, Uniting Church, whatever they are. My God, we need to pray for that crowd. Why is it that you openly accept such homosexuality and stuff like that in your church and your ministry and everywhere? When God's word was clear, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, you realize the Bible is just full of fables. That's not really true. It didn't really happen. So the minute you start to get into these vain deceptions and philosophies and people start telling you lies about what God's word is or isn't, you'll believe anything. And these poor people have been totally duped by so many lies that there was really no whale or fish, big fish. There was really no David and Goliath. That was just a story to help us understand things. And these stories, you know, they're just fables and stories made up. People are demeaning my Father's word. I want to sin and get forgiveness afterwards. They need knocking out. And I'm like, I'm holding my fist behind my back thinking, if you don't shut up, I'm going to take you out. But I'm getting righteous indignation. And I'm saying, no, Lord, that's not the glory you want them to be hit with, I don't think. I really get angry. I get so mad. I'm like Jesus in the temple. I want to get a whip. I'm looking for a whip. But then I go away and I start to cry inside. See the deception. Let no man deceive you or take you captivity, which are based on human tradition and on the spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead, but in bodily form, and you have been made complete, completed and completely full in him who is a head over all ruler and authority. Whew. What have I been made? What have you been made? Complete. Complete. I listen to so many Christians telling me stories. Oh, I'm just not there yet. I'm inadequate. I'm sorry, but my Bible doesn't tell me that. You're just doing that because you think that way. You haven't read God's word that says you've been made complete. Whole. Totally made righteous in him. Oh, I'm not righteous. I'm just, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Well, I'll tell you what, I used to be a sinner, then I got saved by grace. Glory to God. Do I still make mistakes? Yes, I do, but I have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous. And if any man confess his sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them. And I tell you what, I make a faux pas. I don't wait till a Sunday or the next time I'm praying to get rid of it. I say, God, I'm sorry. Whew, how did that happen? Lord, please just wash that out of me. I don't want it to carry it any longer than I need to. And I just have to do that instantaneously. I don't give the devil any ground to play with in my life. Take care of it the instant it happens, amen? If you go back to chapter 1 of Colossians, I'm sorry, mate, it's not there. Just go back. Just read chapter 1 of Colossians and read every reference to what it says. For in him, 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 for in him. And it's there repeatedly over and over and over and over, giving so many situations or things that were taken care of in Christ. And then go to chapter 2, which says, and you are complete in him. Have a look at what in Christ was done. The amazing outworking of what was done in him. And then it puts you in the picture later on and says, and you're complete in him. Wow. Wow. I can't go into that now. That's another whole 2.5 hours. Next slide. So what are we filled with? We have been made complete in him. So what is missing? And in Colossians 1, Paul says, I became the servant of the gospel by the commission of God given to me to fully proclaim the word to you, that the mystery. You know, this didn't come out anywhere else except in Paul's ministry, the mystery. There was a hidden understanding or knowledge of God that had not, or purpose of God, that had never been fully expounded or even thought of. But Paul, because of his relationship with God in his salvation, God showed him the mystery of the church and what God wanted for that church, and he expounded it the way God presented it. And he said it was been hidden for ages and generations, but is now revealed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known. To make what known? To know him, to make him known. Amongst the rest of the world, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. God's hope for his glory to be revealed in this planet. That is sensational stuff. That is mind-boggling. Well, have we got time to finish? Let's have a look at the next one. Hope does not indicate that it's automatic. At every opportunity that God wants to reveal himself, he needs to be free to. And Philippians 4 says, in my God will supply your needs according to his riches. And we say, in glory by Christ Jesus. And you get this picture that somewhere up there in glory, God's got all this stuff that he's able to meet our needs with. Now, that's not true. God doesn't have a printing press in heaven to meet your financial needs. But that'd make him a counterfeiter. You ever thought about that? Pennies aren't going to fall from heaven. Dollar bills aren't going to fall from heaven. That's not the way God does it. God works in our lives to make his glory known by meeting our needs, manifested glory in and through Christ Jesus. You start to recognize when God wants to reveal his glory in you, he's going to do it in an unhindered, surrendered way that we allow him to, so that his blessings on our lives can be a testimony of the God we serve to this world. He will meet our needs according to his riches, that we allow the level of his glory to be manifested in us by Christ Jesus. I got into this scripture and I got blown away, realizing as I was studying this up, that glory that I'm talking about, that God wants to reveal in us, will be manifested at every level where the rubber hits the road in our lives, where we have a need, where we need God to intervene, where we need God to work on our behalf, where we need God to help us and give us wisdom. That manifested glory is there for us, in and through us, and we're not letting it happen. God, I got a need. Oh, Lord, I'm broke. Oh, Lord, I'm this, I'm that. Let his glory be revealed. God will supply your needs. What level of glory are we flowing in or allowing to flow in us? certainly find your need in it once that starts to happen, because it's a promise of God. Amen. Gone quiet in here. Next one. He says, I will not give my glory to another. I will not compete with another. Whatever is occupying your life that is not of me. I will not be in competition with that. Is he free to reveal and outwork his love, life, and glory in us? The purpose that he has over and above the cheap altar calls to try and get people to make a commitment to salvation. Oh, God will make something great of your life and God will do this. And everybody comes in. 6 months, it doesn't happen. They fall away. No, there's a purpose in God that's far greater than that. Next slide. The Bible says, work out your own. Oh, Rake, I want to go into another message here when you talked about Yeshua, the salvation. Work out your own life of Yeshua within you and fulfill our real and initial purpose to know him and make him known. Amen. Father, I love your word. I love what you say about yourself in your word. I love the way you bring your word to life and give us the capacity to know you through it and to know your heart and your purpose for us. God, my prayer today is for every person that's heard this word to come to the realization and the knowledge that you are sitting back, being restrained in so many instances and times that our lives are just not allowing you to be effective. God, I repent today, and I guess we all do. We say, sorry, Lord, if we've held you back. But Father God, we resurrender to you again to be an unrestrained and unhindered people that you can work through in this planet. And at every opportunity, Lord God, we want to reveal your glory. Father, if we've missed them, we're sorry. But we make a pledge never to miss them again. And we'll step out in faith and give you the opportunity to be the God you want to be in our lives. In Jesus' name. I don't know if you've been challenged by this at all, or if you'd like us to pray with you, or you'd like to come out and just spend some time seeking God. I'd like you to be free to do that. But time's gone. You can come and do it afterwards. Can someone go and get Mel, please? Just race off, maybe take over for her up there and bring her down. You know that scripture I quoted earlier from the Psalms, or where it was? I will give thanks. I don't know whether I can play it. Where's the guitar gone? Is Mel hidden her guitar or what? She took it with her. Hope she brings it back. I should have brought mine down. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy steadfast love is great. Can you find that slide, Mash? Is great to the heavens. And thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory, let thy glory.